does the doctrine of election mean we do not pray for the salvation of the lost? Well, absolutely not. In fact, if you do not believe that it is God who is the one who convicts people of their sin and draws them to the Savior, then there would be no point in praying for someone's salvation. So Paul quickly changes direction from arguing for and defending the doctrine of election to a call for the spread of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, and reiterating his unrelenting passion for the salvation of lost people. He says in verse 1 of Romans chapter 10, "Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is their salvation. Because God is the one who saves, Paul prays for him to intervene and save his kinsmen." Verse 2, "For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God." So we understand that Paul had great zeal. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 14, he says he was advancing in Judaism beyond all of his contemporaries among his countrymen, being more extremely zealous for his ancestral traditions. But in 1 Timothy 1, he recognized that in this state he was a blasphemer, a persecutor, a violent aggressor. He was not zealous according to knowledge. We see this in the Pharisees and the scribes. They had huge influence. They were the ones who interpreted and gave teachings. They were sometimes more revered than the scriptures themselves. And so we have these individuals who are extremely zealous for God in a way, but as he says in verse 2, it's not in accordance with knowledge. So they had knowledge, but it was skewed. They had zeal, but it was ill-placed. They had boast, but it was in the wrong righteousness. It was not in line with the truth, the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ. Verse 3 says, "For not knowing about God's righteousness." And as you consider David's writings and in the Old Testament, it's clear that there was a dependence upon God's righteousness, upon God and his justification. And it is the righteousness of God which we need. So it was there, but they did not recognize it. They ignored it, and rather they depended upon themselves and their obedience to God, their own righteousness. So, not knowing about God's righteousness, they sought to establish their own righteousness. So in their zeal to make themselves righteous in and of themselves, they actually condemned themselves. And you see, you can use this as you're sharing the gospel with somebody as well. As soon as someone recognizes that there is right and wrong, within that confession is a self-condemnation, for none always do right. And to be guilty of one is to be guilty of all. So they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. What is this righteousness of God? Verse 4, "For Christ is the end of the law." You cannot keep the law. It is impossible. It is against our very nature. We could have our lives a billion times over and never live a righteous life. We were slaves to our sin. We are slaves to our sin. We are owned by it, dominated by it. Romans chapter 5, verse 20. "The law came in so that transgression would increase. But Christ is the end of the law for righteousness." Christ is the only one, the only righteous one who can save. And that is for everyone who believes. He says in verse 4, "It is guaranteed by faith." So if you have faith in Christ, you are righteous, not by anything that you've done, not in and of yourself, not temporarily, not almost, but completely, eternally, fully accepted before God Almighty, because you are in his Son, in whom he is well pleased, the righteous one. So what are the conclusions from this text? You're not doing any favor to religious people to confirm their effort of righteousness. They are but filthy rags. We are called to preach the gospel, and the gospel is particular. It washes and cleanses the sinner. The sinner must know that they are a sinner. Now, secondly, stop. Stop looking to yourself for acceptance before God. Stop thinking that his love for you is based upon how you did today. Stop thinking you are saved by anything that you've done. Stop trying to obey God in order to be loved by him. Rather, obey him because he loves you. Come before him because of Christ. Your standing before God Almighty is utterly found in Christ alone. If you want to stand on anything of your own, you erase Christ. In a sense, he is sufficient. So depend fully on him. Have a passionate prayer life for the lost. Trust that God will save. Trust that God is the one who does save, and pray to him to do so. I want to close with a R.C. Sproul quote. He says, I hope that each of us has a heart on fire with zeal. Jesus warned those who were neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm, he would vomit them out of his mouth. He wanted his people to be filled with zeal, but a zeal according to knowledge, zeal that is informed by his word. The fire in our hearts is not simply heat, but also light, which comes from God's word.